Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Donna Valentine and Steve Patterson.
Yeah,
producer man. Don McLean is not here. Brother Rob filling in.
Hello.
And hi Rob, we got some music news. Kick it.
It's time to talk music.
I enjoy music.
With Donna Valentine. And Steve Patterson.
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
This is the beat.
Okay, before we get to the list of 10 bands that are supposedly worse than Nickelback, please hold on. That
can't be a list of 10.
There's 10, and I'm really mad about almost half of them.
Oh no! Okay, please can't wait to get to that.
First, congratulations to Ed Sheeran and his wife Cherry Seaborn. They're expecting their first child.
How did this news hit you, Donna? I know it's a mixed bag for you.
No, I was very excited. Very excited. They've been locked down at his home in England. So that allowed them to keep the pregnancy a secret. Mm. She's in the final stage of her pregnancy. She's due later on this summer.
Oh, wow.
So that's exciting. It's your little ginger baby.
Can you see Ed as a dad?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Boy, he'll be able to do some pretty, pretty rockin' bedtime songs.
You got it.
That's pretty great. Like these kids of musicians don't know how good they have it. When they get sung a lullaby, they don't know that they're getting a private concert.
Exactly. Aw, so here's the deal. These two are high school sweethearts. Isn't that the best?
It's like I am one of those, but yeah.
Are you high school or college?
High school, 10th grade, girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, that is adorable. I love
right.
it. So we'll keep you posted on that baby
Congrats.
News. Totes, right? I know, right?
I know.
Okay, so now this. BroBible.com, your people.
Hey, wait, no, come on.
Put together this terrible list of bands that are worse than Nickelback.
I have got a feeling that there might be some country bands represented on this, which is what you're taking umbrage at.
You are actually incorrect.
Really? Wow.
So you're probably going to disagree with some of them, too. Have you already looked at this list?
Nope, haven't looked at it. Flying blind.
Number one on the list, Imagine Dragons.
Now, I've heard a lot of people say that Imagine Dragons are today's Nickelback.
Rude.
Thunder! Feel the thunder. It's just like, it just feels...
I really like them.
I know. It can feel a little bit like it lacks. Like, it just feels like commercial rock, which is kind of what Nickelback was.
All right. I'm not happy about that. Number two on the list is Buck Cherry.
Who now?
Oh, you know Buck Cherry.
Do I know Buck Cherry?
I think you know Buck Cherry.
I don't know if I know Buck Cherry.
You do. You just... They're just not that... Not
Buck
on
Cherry.
Your radar.
An American rock band formed in Anaheim in 95. What, do they have any famous songs that we would know? Whoa, Crazy B Word. Right Now? Under the Skin? Getting Under the Skin?
You'd probably know some of these.
Okay. I'm just going to agree with the list for that. These are bands that are worse than Nickelback from Bro.
Correct.
Bible. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Number three on the list, Hoobastank.
Hoobastank. What was their song?
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Coming up next, on deck, we got Maroon 5, Train, Five for Fighting, and Hoobastank. Don't go away.
You know, it was a very funny and overlooked joke. When Zach Galifianakis first hosted Saturday Night Live, he was very funny and just had a really, really great monologue. I believe he went to the piano at one point, and then he said... stick around. Hoobastank is here. And they had long since been a thing. And they were not the musical act that night. That's a great joke.
Oh my God, that's funny you say that. Great because joke. When I worked with my old friend, Marley McMillan, there's a Hoobastank poster that's framed in the hallway over by KS95.
Yes.
And we were walking to lunch, and I'm like, hey, coming up next, Hoobastank. And she lost it, and she's like, why did you say that? I go, because there's a poster right there.
Yeah.
And it just made me think, what an interesting name for a band.
This was their this was their song called The Reason.
This is a great song.
Donna, well, listen, you could probably say the same about Nickelback. Kind of sing along to some of their stuff.
Oh, I like Nickelback. It's very 90s, you know? It's just, this is the kind of music that was being made at that time.
I know.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, I'm really mad about this next one on the list.
Oh, jeez.
I love this band. Five for Fighting.
Oh, bummer. They did
Hundred Years.
I'm 22 for a moment. I know that played during a slideshow at my wedding. Slideshows were the thing back when I got married.
And then that song does not seem that old.
That song was playing as they were showing like the slideshow of me growing up. And then pictures, oh gosh, I can't even hear it now because then I think of these slideshows. Which just make, well, no, it was me growing up as a kid with my family. And then like I'm about to fly the coop. Oh, Lord.
I mean,
why are these kids going to move away? I just think that this is a cruel trajectory.
I mean, why are they putting this on the list? This is a great song.
This is a good song.
I can't.
Oh, man.
No, I can't listen to it. I can't.
And then it's just the passage of time. Donna, there's a melancholy. Is there not?
I know. That's the kind of stuff I like.
The Hoobastank song sucked pretty hard, but that one was good.
Okay. I'm really upset about this one, too. This is another one of my...
This is the theme. She's upset.
Number five on the list of bands worse than Nickelback, according to BroBible.com, Train.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How dare you? No, Drops of Jupiter?
No.
Oh, my God. That's about his mom, seeing his mom in a dream who just passed away, and it's just beautiful.
Well, the meaning can be beautiful, but just do you like this? No, I was never in on Train.
I love Pat. Is it Pat Monahan? I love his voice.
Oh,
it
boy.
Is so good. You are a terrible person.
You are like late 90s, early 2000s rock.
Well, what do you like?
Not this.
Are you
not Hoobastank? No, I'm not. I was out on Train.
Listen to this.
I've heard it a gazillion times.
Talking about his mother.
You can separate the lyrical meaning from do I enjoy the song, the voice, the melody.
Wow. Tough crowd, man.
Listen, you're so far you're defending Hoobastank, Train. It's not, you know.
It's the stuff I like. All right, Papa Roach comes in at number six. Not familiar at all.
Oh, you don't know them? Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Bum, bum. Oh, it was so hard. Oh, gosh. Papa Roach.
Oh, my God.
TRL is what that reminds me of. Total Request Live with Carson Daly.
Oh, my gosh. Not familiar.
Oh, okay. Man.
All right, you're gonna be mad about the next one.
No.
They put Maroon 5 on this list.
Hey,
how
now.
How dare you?
Dear up. That's jacked up, man. Here's to the one that we got. Dear up. That's a bummer. I like a lot of Maroon 5.
That is a good band.
That
and it's
is.
Dance. It's fun. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Here's another song that made me cry. On my way home from a funeral.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just this happened to be on the radio.
It's a good song.
There's a time that all right. Number eight on the list is Stained.
Fine.
I'm okay with that.
I was a background actor in a Stained music video once.
Whatever, name drop.
Whatever.
Wait, here it is.
Sorry, guys. I was essentially a member of Stained. Who rounded out the list at 9 and 10?
Number nine is U2, with the exception of Sunday Bloody Sunday. That's rude. And number 10 is Smash Mouth.
Oh, yeah. They should have been number one on the list.
Right?
Hey, now, you're a rock star. Ugh. Let's take a break, shall we?
All right, I'll do it. Oh, by the way, before we go, though, let me just tell you this. If you want to take a look at the $3-point-something million condo that Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman bought in New York City that has a hydraulic lift to bring your car to the parking lot so you can miss, you know, like avoid paparazzi.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool? You pull your car onto this thing. It lifts you up, brings you to your parking space. Huh. It's only 1,600 square feet, but you could check out that in their farmhouse. I linked it up at mytalk1071.com. Go!
When we return, if you were a fan of Blockbuster, you have to hear what they are doing with their final location. The last one, it's in Oregon. They've got cool plans for what it's going to become when we return on Donna and Steve on My Talk.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. Donna Valentine, Steve Patterson. Hey, I was, I don't remember where I was yesterday, but I was...
Hang on. Got to document this for the doctors.
You're hilarious.
All right, go ahead.
And I saw a place that said home video, but I don't know if it means put your... transfer your things onto video. Why would they call it home video? There's no video anymore. And I just saw this brick and mortar store type thing.
Did it appear to be inhabited?
Yes. Huh. And I just drove by and I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting.
Peculiar. You have to go inside next time. Stop and go in and say, I'm just snooping around here. What's going on?
Yeah. I'll be like, do you have Napoleon Dynamite?
Nice, Donna.
Thank you.
For fans of Blockbuster, you might know, Blockbuster's been it's kind of bizarre the past few years because they have a Twitter account, which is funny.
And, oh, that's cool.
And there, I think at one point there were two. I think there was one in Alaska, one in Bend, Oregon. I think the Alaska one closed a year or so ago.
Yep.
The Blockbuster location in Bend, Oregon, the final one standing. And I think this is really fun. Coming this September... you can rent out the last Blockbuster through Airbnb.
I love this idea. I think it's so smart.
Have you seen pictures inside?
Not yet.
Oh my gosh. They really make it look cool. It's just like it's got a 90s vibe to it. It just feels throwback. You get run of the joint too. If you find, they say, if you find nerds, eat the nerds. Raisinettes, eat the raisinettes. They set up an old school couch to just like, it just feels throwback, cozy. And Donna,
really
look at that
cute
TV.
Idea.
I believe it's a rear projection, like an old school big screen TV, which might make you feel
now,
at home.
It's funny you say that because I looked at it and went, oh, they have a real mod TV. It doesn't look like a rear.
The 90s was. That's what the room's going to look like. What more fun way to do that than to come in and experience a night in Blockbuster, have a sleepover, have the old big console television, have the VCR, have the popcorn, have the whole experience, kind of like we did in the 90s.
It's just such a cute idea. So, how much for you to rent it for a night? $4. $4.
Wait, hold on. I want to hear this lady.
We just heard the lady.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just hearing it now. It's just coming through my headphones right now.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Donna's broadcasting from a military base in Afghanistan today. So
she's still talking right this second. There's still a woman talking.
Really?
Three nights in September, blah, blah, blah.
Three nights in September, yes, which is what's going to be really tricky about it, that you only have a few nights to actually make good on it. So I don't know. You can try... to get one of these coveted slots for $4 a night to rent out Blockbuster, spend an overnight there, August 17th at 1 p.m. Pacific, which would be 3 p.m. for us, is when these slots will go up for grabs. I don't know how they're going to determine because they will be overrun with people who want to do this. $4.
Got it. Yeah. No, it's super cute. I really, really like it. I think it's a great idea.
Cute idea. And do you have fond memories of the video store?
Yes, very much
gosh.
So.
Wasn't it
so
exciting?
I mean, it was fun. Yes, because you go and you're like, oh, and you'd split the aisles with whoever you were with. And it's like, what about this? Have you seen this yet? You know, I'm still not going to get rid of my VHS players. I just feel like there's going to be this wave of nostalgia that comes back where parents want their kids. And then guess what? I'm going to sell it on eBay and make bank.
This is how she retires at the end of this. She sells a really old big screen TV and a VCR. And
yep, it's like Donna's, all you want now.
Donna's in Cabo. Loving
you got it.
But there was something so magical about the going to the video store too. Now Blockbuster, a big chain. We had a Hollywood Video that moved into the neighborhood when I was like a teenager. But when I was a kid, like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, my brothers and I would go up to Main Street in Springdale, Pennsylvania, where we were raised, and there was B&D. B&D sold videos. They had videos on the first floor, and then they had records and tapes up on the second floor. So second floor was for music. First floor was all videos. And then you would get a video, and you would hope that they had the video. Like, as I remember it, you didn't always know if the video number that you came up with, so if you're like 2468, which you knew was E.T., they would have to look to see if they had it. And they usually had two copies of everything, but two copies, you didn't know if anything that you brought to them they would have in stock.
Right. Oh, that's how you did it. So you did like pull a number.
Yeah. Yeah, each VHS box had the number with like masking tape on it.
Okay. And we would bring the box, the empty box. They would take the empty box and then put the video in it and hand it to you.
Wonder if that's how it happened. Donna, listen, you know what I said ever since? Because that makes more sense. I was a young child. If Brian Williams could do it, I could do it. I don't trust my memory at all, which is why every story I tell, I now just say, as best as I remember it. I don't know.
Okay,
remember the free Brian Williams podcast? None of us are telling the truth.
Well, we all think, like, I could say something right now and say Tony Maguire, and you'll be like, don't you mean Toby Maguire? And I'll go, that's what I said.
I know, we're so convinced.
Because I have convinced, yeah, until you play it back and you're like, oh, sorry. I guess I am a big old dummy.
Hey, yeah. Donna.
What, Steve? Stop
no.
it. Stop that right now. Hey, big fan of Fresh Prince.
That gritty reboot that was pitched by a fan. Just a video put out by a fan a year ago. Will Smith is teaming up with that fan.
Yes,
and
we'll,
getting behind the gritty reboot.
Let's visit that on the way.
Oh,
okay.
And by the way, speaking of like just people from the internet, wait until we tell you who guest hosted Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. It's a weird world we're living in. We'll tell you when we return on Don and Steve. Like, a little bit crazy. Hey, it is the month of August, my friends. If you haven't been looking at your calendar for the last 5 months, you could win $500 just by listening to my talk. This from our friends at AARP. You could also win a year's worth of Royal Canin cat food thanks to Minnesota Animal Health Foundation. These prizes and a whole lot more are available in our listener rewards. You can go to our website, mytalk1071.com, to get registered. Or might I recommend you download our app and easily get registered there.
All right. Welcome back. It's us, Donna and Steve. So we were talking about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air getting a gritty reboot, as in it's not going to be a comedy.
It's just sort of interesting.
That's how it feels, right?
Yeah, it's not. And this is why this is, like, look, we hear about reboots all the time, right? But what's peculiar about this one is that it's from a fan who had made, do you remember a video coming out? I think it was around a year ago. And
yes,
it was this, like, dramatic retelling, reimagining of the Fresh Prince. And this fan put it out there. And then a lot of people were like, oh, that's interesting. That's cool. And then
right,
this guy,
so the guy's name is Morgan Cooper.
Morgan Cooper, his video goes viral. And then fast forward to last night, and news comes out that this guy, Morgan Cooper, who, just so you know, when I say this guy, like, I think he has like 8,000 followers on Twitter. Okay, so just Morgan Cooper teaming up now with Will Smith to bring back a reboot. It's in the works, and it will have that dramatic feel. It won't be just the typical sitcom that it was back in the 90s.
Because remember when you were talking about that scene from, oh, didn't he get into a big fight with his uncle? And
I remember the scene.
It was super dark. That's included.
It was that his father had come back. Will Smith's father in the show had come back. And then his Uncle Phil was just a little bit worried because he had seen his father walk out on him a couple of times before. And then there's a scene where he's getting ready to do a road trip, and then his dad didn't stick around, and Uncle Phil saw it happen. And it is, I still remember seeing it live to this day.
Wow.
Will Smith starts crying. It is such a suddenly emotional scene in the midst of just a really funny show. It was great.
Yeah, I love that. They used to do that like on All in the Family. They did it on, the show that was rebooted One Day at a Time. They did it on, Good Times. Every now and then it's kind of cool. But here is, the trailer is about a minute and 20 seconds, but we'll listen to a little bit.
Look at you. The only reason why you're not in jail is because Uncle Phil called in a favor.
You throw this? You're stupid.
You are carrying a gun on the streets to protect yourself? I've done my best, Will. But it's time for a change. You're going to Bel Air to live with your uncle and your auntie.
Will, I will not bail you out again. In this house, I'm not Uncle Phil. I'm the law. Have I made myself absolutely clear?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Will, what brings you to Bel Air?
I caught with a gun.
How are we related again?
Shut up, Carlton.
He's from the streets of Philadelphia. Will needs discipline.
Just a little time. Just a little time and a little love. We are what he needs.
Why don't you go back to Philly? Born and raised, right?
You think I would ever want to be in this life?
You're not welcome, Will.
This is fake.
Wherever you're from,
this is fake. You didn't do anything to earn this. I never had nothing.
My life ain't a sitcom I live. I don't even feel like I belong here.
Just give it some time. Everything happens for a reason.
What do you think?
I think it's cool. I think it's cool because as much as I would love to see some sort of a Fresh Prince reboot with Will Smith in it, like I just love that show so much. I thought it was so great. The nostalgia in me would be down for something like that. I'm a fan of reboots, though. I should tell you, I don't view them with much of a critical eye. I'm just like, I want the nostalgia. But the fact that they are rethinking it is, it's cool. That's a different kind of an approach, and I think it'll be great. And the fact that Will Smith brings this guy in, that guy will, did we say Morgan Cooper? He is going to co-write it. He's going to be a co-executive producer on it as well. Just, I love stories, Donna, when the internet just proves to be a platform for interesting creativity and springboards you into something else.
There's a lot of people out there who are really talented. So you said that Morgan has been helping Will Smith develop the show for about a year. So now there's interest from a bunch of streaming services, HBO Max, Peacock, and Netflix. So that's kind of cool. I would check that out for sure.
Well, and again, you have Will Smith. So this is already going to be an easy sell. It's a known franchise. It has scored well online, right, in terms of the response and people being interested and it trending on Twitter. Those are all free focus groups for these streamers. I'll be curious where he lands up. My guess is Peacock. It was originally on NBC. It's a part of NBC Universal, and my guess would be that they would like to nab something big and original.
Yep. I think that's cool.
Did you
now
see
tell
who,
us about Jimmy Kimmel?
Who guest co-hosted Jimmy Kimmel last night? TikTok.
I did not.
In the news again. China. So there is a woman on TikTok who does lip syncs of President Trump. Now, there are Barack Obama impressionists on TikTok. There are Donald Trump impressionists, etc. So that's not necessarily new, but hers is different because she just plays real audio from the president and then lip syncs to it. And it has gotten her so much attention. Now, it's not like crazy. She's got over 500,000 followers on TikTok, which is a big number to be sure, but it's not like millions. So I was a little bit surprised, but very happy for her to see that she was picked to guest co-host Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel's on hiatus. He's taking like the rest of the summer off. And then suddenly this TikTok star who said, hey, I need to thank my nephews. Had they not told me about TikTok, I would have never gone on it. And she said at the beginning of this year, in January of this year, she was doing just like an open mic gig at a local pizza place. I think she said maybe in Jersey or something like that. And then fast forward 8 months, she is guest hosting Jimmy Kimmel Live. Like the sudden stardom of that story, I just think is so cool because of the platform that these different social media outlets have provided to creative people. So
that
she was there.
Awesome.
She had Ben Stiller, I think, was a guest last night. I watched a little bit of her monologue, and she's great. She's likable, and it's a tough place to do a monologue because it's just alone in what they have looked like Jimmy Kimmel's house. And I don't think it's actually his house, but you're just alone, so you don't get any audience feedback. You don't get any applause when you come out or anything like that. But
so Sarah Cooper is her name.
Sarah Cooper, and you know her as the President Trump lip syncer. And I just found out about her a couple weeks ago, so it feels all the more sudden to me. But good for her, and good for the network saying, we'll take a shot. Again, Donna, free focus groups. Remember back in the day when there had to be focus groups, they would pull a group into a room. I remember being at the mall, and there would be someone with a clipboard, and they would come over to you. Hey, do you want to check out a couple of movie clips and answer some questions? And I was like, yes, this is so incredible.
Oh, my God. I'm always like, I'm in a rush. Sorry. Get away from me.
It was when I was like a teenager. I was dying for it. Like, yes, can we please do this? It would be great. That's how you used to have to get opinions. And now, again, these executives can just go, and you know that if on TikTok she's very popular, you can absolutely gamble one night, bring her on, she'll bring over some percentage of her followers from TikTok who otherwise would never watch Jimmy Kimmel Live. It's like easy picking right now for network executives, for record executives.
Well, and Ellen is very known for doing something similar, just including them as guests on her show.
Yeah.
By the way, Jimmy Kimmel had Dua Lipa hosting this week. And I didn't think it was very good, her monologue. Of course it's not, because that's not what she does for a living. She's extremely talented. But I was like, really? Are you just randomly picking celebrities? I like the idea of the TikTok person.
It's tough sledding, too, for anybody. It's for you to get a call like, hey, you get to guest co-host Jimmy Kimmel Live. And then to know, you're likely going to deliver your first monologue ever and you have no audience. That's tough.
You're right.
It would be like when we did comedy for Project Down and Dirty a couple years ago. If they said, great, practice all this stuff, and then we're going to give you an empty Mystic Lake.
Right.
Good luck.
Right. I get it.
Good luck.
Did you see this story about Howie Mandel?
No.
It just makes me feel so bad. I have a friend who I no longer talk to, but that's neither here nor there, who had OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. So we all know that Howie Mandel is a germaphobe, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which also has to be really difficult, especially during a pandemic. But he's got OCD that goes beyond being scared to shake hands. He did this interview with Esquire magazine, and he basically said, he describes it like this. He gives an example. He says, you might leave your house and you might have thought, hey, I didn't lock my door. And then you get out of your car and you shake the lock to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, yep, I locked it. Then you go back to the car and you say, maybe I didn't shake it enough. So I go back and I do it again. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think I pushed it really hard. And I do it again. And I've been locked into that ritual of keep going back and checking for over an hour, and my life stops, and I miss a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was so bad that he almost broke his knuckles, because the 30th time he went back, he took his fist and smashed it into the doorknob, and he had so much pain in his knuckles, and he would go, listen, Howie, this pain should be the message that you've already overchecked it. But I would go, maybe I loosened it when I punched it. Do you get it? Like, it never ends.
This was me as a kid. I had to go back to light switches, hold them down for 4 seconds, and with my left index fingernail on the top left part of the light switch, go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I would go back to my bed and be like, the last one didn't go off my fingernail the right way, and I'd have to start it all over. I'd have to hold plugs into sockets for 4 seconds. I know exactly what he's talking about, and it is really cumbersome because it interrupts your life and your ability to just like live freely.
So how do you manage it, and how do you get over it?
I think that there's therapy that can help folks with OCD. I have been able to move out of my obsessive compulsive things like that, like tendencies to hold. I used to have to do the lock thing. It was just whole bugger. And then mine like morphed into it's called pure obsession, where then you have just thoughts, all sorts of thoughts that come into your head. And then you're trying to, most people are like, oh, weird thought, and it passes. And then mine stay there, and you're like, oh my gosh, what is this saying about me? Would I do that? Yeah. And it's like a whole different sort of mental prison. And I went and saw a counselor for that, to just start talking through that. And then it disarms it. But you have to talk about it. You have to share about it. And then it disarms all of these things.
Yeah, yeah. Because then you take the power back.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I had a little bit of that. Not to the extreme that you... Well, I did, but it was more like talking to myself in my head. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't stop what I was saying in my head. And I would try to explain it to my parents. But at the time, there was no such thing.
Yeah.
As right. I mean, there was, obviously, but it wasn't given a name. Mm-hmm. So I just feel so bad, and I really hope he has gotten over it, and he's just talking in past tense and not what he deals with today. So anyway, thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
I really appreciate it. Let's get tipsy when we come back. Speaking of TikTok, there is this hack that I think you and I both watched on TikTok, and it has to do with a common household problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and how to overcome this household problem. We're going to help you out with that when we come right back on My Talk 107.1. Everybody, welcome back. Thanks for listening to My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment with Donna and Steve.
Thanks for having
Donna.
Us, Donna.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How
you
are
don't
you
like
doing?
Broadcasting from home. You're an office lady.
I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Mm.
I like having all the comforts of the office.
For sure.
If that makes sense. You know what I mean?
You're so relatable, Dawn. Of course I know what you mean.
I mean, it's nice to, like, not have any makeup on, have my hair up in a ponytail, to be able to just be in my own bathroom, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be able to go upstairs, you know, tap the dog on the head, and then come back. But other than that, the comforts of the technology that I'm familiar with are very different, and that stresses me out.
Is your dog not near you? You need your dog near you. He's like a therapy dog for you.
He is on the other side of a partition that I have set up.
Oh, poor buddy.
Just and let right him around
in your a buddy, get there.
I mean, it's wide open. I mean, he can go wherever he wants.
Is he
I just
sleeping?
Have he is. He's on his
How
dog
often
bed.
Does your dog sleep?
He sleeps like a cat most of the time.
That's kind of nice. Just like a loafy dog.
Yeah, he's loafy because he's old. You know, he's 9 years old. I like the dogs of a certain age, if you will. Thank you. Let's get tipsy.
Let's get tipsy.
Time for tipsy. A tip.
Everybody on the show getting tipsy.
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 Okay. I have to say, I am a little apprehensive about this because I can't believe that it works this well.
The video, though, Donna.
I know. But can we trust this woman? What do we know about her?
I think we can. This is she has a hack for a problem that almost everyone has had at some point.
Yeah, so if you have a Tupperware bowl or, you know, just a plastic container that has been stained, maybe you put spaghetti sauce in it, maybe mm-hmm. you put soup in it. Now, I thought I already had a hack for this. This is very different. Like, what I would do is I would spray a little cooking spray on into the bowl before putting anything that might stain into the bowl, right?
Oh, okay, so yours is a preventive. That's proactive. This is reactive.
Correct. So what she does is she takes the bowl, Okay, mm-hmm. That's stained. She puts some warm water, a little dish detergent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then she takes some ripped up pieces of a paper towel.
And like, not too small. When I first read that, I was like, like little snowflakes. And it's just like, imagine you're just sort of haphazardly tearing a paper towel
into.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so then she puts all the thirds in there. She puts the lid on. She shakes it. She takes the lid off. She shakes it pretty vigorously. Let's just say for like 30 seconds, 40 seconds. She takes the lid off, rinses it, and it's completely clean again.
I mean, so you're curious. You're a little skeptical. Was there a
what
a
about
video
the paper towels is making that work? What about that?
I don't know.
It's not like it's bleach. Like I feel like I'm being duped.
I think it's real. And she even says in the video, try it and post, you know, at mention me. When you do, I want to see how it works for all of you guys. So she puts herself out there. It's got 520,000 likes
on
TikTok. So a lot of people are liking it.
Yeah. I'm going to try it. I have to find a stained, you know, thingy.
Although that's interesting that you do yours with cooking spray just to keep it from staining in the first place. But like, yeah, I'm thinking lasagna, any kind of pasta. It feels like it's one time you put pasta in and you're done.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would spray it, but then I would take a paper towel and just kind of go over it. So it's not just this wet stuff at the bottom. I would just kind of like you would when you're making cookies and you grease a pan.
Yeah. Right?
Or you grease a cookie sheet. Yeah. So that's what I would do. But you guys, I linked this up on the Donna and Steve show page at mytalk1071.com. You can watch it and try it for yourself.
Before I get to a couple of hacks that I have, I just have to say this. I should have said this in If You See Something, Say Something. Last night I made burgers in a cast iron skillet. I love the idea of cast iron. And I get it, that it helps flavor and all that. But it will turn, just a burger, will turn your stove area into just a greasy mess.
Yep.
It's like the Bellagio, and it's just like grease flying everywhere. And then at the end, you look and you're like, okay, yeah, the burger tastes good, but there's grease everywhere. Is there a solution for that? Is there some sort of a mesh covering that you can put on cast iron?
There is. In fact, I used one yesterday.
Really?
It's that Teflon? No, not Teflon. That's wrong. It's silicone. So I have a silicone cover that has a handle. So just picture a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, screen, not glass, right?
Right. It's a circle. It's silicone, and it's got holes in it, and it's got a handle that comes out of it. You just place it on top, and it'll hopefully at least, if not fix the situation, then at least, you know, help the situation.
Donna, can I just say
Steve,
thank you really quickly?
Okay. Yeah, I just used one yesterday because I made turkey burgers. What do you mean? Did you say you got hacked?
No, I got a hack.
Okay.
I got another cleaning hack now in the world of this. This one has to do with dryer sheets, and it's not what you think. Even after a dryer sheet has been used, they can actually do some more things around your house, including they can buff water spots from mirrors, bathroom, kitchen fixtures, shower doors, whatever. They can also remove the ring inside of the toilet. Thank you.
Oh, really? That's a great tip.
And you can use a dryer sheet to wipe your baseboards clean as well, more than just making your clothes smell good.
All right. Well, on that note, I think you can also use it on your dog to get, you know, so he's not staticky.
Wow. All right.
And to repel mosquitoes. You're welcome. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the film that inspired the Raspberry Awards. Coming up next.